You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Oh, I think I know. They all want to get paid this offseason.
They are all in the last year of their contracts. The contract year. Never underestimate the contract year, folks.
Are you telling me that professional athletes are motivated by money? That no, you're not saying
no.
That, are you?
Oh boy.
We have seen big plays from Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
I'm at your service.
All season long.
Fast tempo, we gotta bring some energy and some life in the
crowd. Mega Donut Podcast.
We gotta get this thing amped up.
With them great guys, Chris and Adam. Even Aaron likes them.
Are you kidding me? I love them.
Hello, Packer Nation, Old Bag of Donuts, and listeners and followers. I'm Adam Summers, joined by my bestest friend in the world, Chris Lempesis. We're heading into the second month, I guess second calendar month. I mean, not calendar, week five.
Second quarter of the season.
Second quarter, that's where I'm undefeated. Did you expect this?
I could act surprised, but I mean, when we did our preseason picks, I remember saying I thought that they were going to win their first four games.
You did.
I mean, am I surprised that it's actually happened? Yeah.
The reason I asked, I mean,
I guess I am. I am, and I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was going to happen, but it's hard to win four games in a row at any point in the season. So,
as Packer fans and fans set of a team, an Aaron Rodgers led team, we always, I mean, going to each season, it's Super Bowl or bust. We expect good things to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised, but it's just based on how the last couple years have started. 1-2, 1-2. Being 4-0 in first place is nice.
Yeah, in a division that already feels like a two-team race. Well, I mean, it is a two-team race. It's a two-team race.
Is it a two-team race or is it a one-and-a-half-team race? Do you believe the Vikings?
That's a good point. My 1.5. That's a good way to put it.
Can the Vikings win 9 games and be a wild card? I think so.
Yeah.
Will they win 10 or 11 and really challenge the Packers? No.
I don't think so. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's like a 1.5 team race. It's the Pack. I mean, the Packers are going to win this division. I think. I hate to jinx it, but it does feel like they're going to win this division by, at least 3 games, right?
It's looking like that. I think it's going to be determining how good the Vikings really are. And talking to some fans and some friends I work with, some other just friends of Vikings fans that are Vikings fans living here in the cities. I don't think everyone's really sold on this offense yet on Teddy Bridgewater, and a lot of trepidation. They're 2-2, and I think a lot of fans expect them to be 7-8 win team, and I think a lot of fans will be surprised if they make the playoffs. A lot more trepidation of Teddy Bridgewater than I thought.
Yeah, he seems to have, I don't want to say come into the sophomore slump because that's kind of cliche, but I mean,
he hasn't taken the next step.
Huh?
He hasn't taken the next step.
Well, and you and I talked about that. I don't know if we've talked about that in any of our preseason pods or anything, but I know we talked about it over the summer and stuff, that like there was a lot of hype on that team and him because he closed the season so strong. He had like the second best quarterback rating, I think, in the last 4 weeks. Behind only Aaron Rodgers, right? Mm-hmm. To end last season, the last 4 weeks of 2014, only Rodgers had a better QB rating than Teddy Bridgewater, I think, or something. QBR, the ESPN thing, whatever it was. I don't know. But so there was a lot of excitement over that. But and you and I talked about it, that like these defensive coordinators, they just go into bunkers in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And they just watch hours and hours of tape on the teams that are going to play that next year. So like every part of Bridgewater's game was going to be picked apart by these teams that they were going to face, especially the teams they were going to face early. So, you know, you and I both said we thought it was going to be pretty hard for him to duplicate what he had done down the stretch, and that's proven to be the case.
Yeah, and I
right?
made a comparison.
Okay. I always get nervous when there's a long pause. I'm like, did I just say something that sounds completely batshit nuts? Because Adam's pausing,
no,
and I'm sitting on the other end going, what the hell did he just say?
No, it's just when you get such a great response and such a great commentary and have really nothing else to add.
Oh, okay.
I just admire it.
That makes me feel better.
Like,
I'll make sure to spell your name right on the check.
If you saw my face, I would have this very inquisitive look. Yes, Chris, I agree with you, Chris. It's a good point. I'm nodding my head. No,
your hands like,
but in all reality,
one hand rubbing your chin like, I agree.
Stroking the old beard right now.
There you go.
But in all seriousness, I made this comment to our mutual friend Jesse, who's a big Vikings fan.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the biggest Vikings fan I know. I sent him a text message after the Broncos game. Like, so when did Teddy Bridgewater turn into Alex Smith?
Oh, no.
And he went on a big, lengthy response back saying how Smith is 30, Bridgewater's 22. He's making strides. He's not turning the ball over. It's not a bad thing for a young quarterback, but he doesn't have any receivers in this offense. Just based this whole thing.
Like, typical Pap, like, you text him, like, a joking, like, just talking shit thing,
yeah.
And he responds with, like, some big treat, like, some big diatribe, like, explaining why you're wrong. You're like, oh, it's just talking shit, man.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I think Bridgewater still has a decent future. He's seen his offense. I don't think he's really going to turn to Alex Smith.
You're like, dude, I'm just messing with you. And he's like, but I gave you numbers.
Yeah. But it was really nice to see another quarterback in this division have a Jay Cutler moment besides Jay Cutler in the fourth quarter. That last – we were at the bar watching because both games were on the same time. It was a Packers game, ended up, and got over early.
Where do you go now? Do you go to the Herkimer?
No, the Herkimer kind of sucks because they only had like four TVs there.
Really?
Yeah, we go to TIFF's in St. Paul.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Tiff's is a Packers bar.
That's
they
nice.
Got about
that's 40 a really
TVs.
Nice bar. That's a nice place.
Yeah, it's a really nice bar. It's really, really – it's a perfect setup.
Yeah.
So, and it's about 5 minutes from our house, which is nice. So they switched. So we were finished, got our tab, and we were with my brother and his girlfriend and a few other friends. And we're just finishing up our beers and stuff, and Packers game got over. So they switched over to the last 2.5 minutes of the Vikings-Broncos game. I'm like, all right, let's see how good the Vikings are. Can they actually beat Denver on the road? And that last drive by Teddy Bridgewater. Whew.
That was rough. I did watch that because we got bonus coverage here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it was rough.
That was not pretty.
But we're not going to talk about the Vikings the whole time. And we kind of got off track a little bit.
You are listening to Vikings Chat on blogtoppackers.radio.
Well, there is, you know, the local sports talk radio station up here at KFAN does have a Packers preview show every Sunday morning.
Only
it's been going on for
15,
20 years.
Still the only NFL market where an opposing team has their own show?
I believe so.
Sinekin used to always say that, and I think, well, other guys in the fan would mention it too, but Sinekin always really, because it was his show. It's his show that Minneapolis was for a long, when I lived there anyways, it was the only NFL market that had a show dedicated to an opposing team.
Yeah, I'm sure there's other markets where the teams are so close to each other. I'm thinking like Baltimore and Washington, D.C.
Right.
But I think the fact remains that it's not so much the market, it's on the Vikings flagship station.
That might be what it was, yeah.
It'd be like the Bears having a Bears preview show on WTMJ.
Right, which would never happen.
Yeah, but that's the comparison.
So Packers.
Yeah, so we're going to break down the Niners game a little bit. The highs and lows. We're going to talk about the Rams game and try not to drop any F-bombs.
I'm going to stay F-bomb free tonight. No F-bombs for me. Let's see if I can do it. I don't know.
Can we place a bet on
can
that?
I do it? Stay tuned. We'll see.
I bet you $10 you can't.
I probably can't. I don't know. I probably can't.
So revenge tour 2015 carries on.
Another successful stop.
And I say revenge tour because I got a lot of problems, Chris. I got like a lot of grievances to air.
Okay.
So revenge tour, week one.
People.
Week one, Bears. I always have a reason. I just hate Chicago. Week two, Seattle, obvious reasons. Week three, well, the Chiefs did ruin the perfect 16-0 season that one year, 2011.
Oh, yeah.
That's my revenge. Took care of the 49ers for obvious reasons, Colin Kaepernick last week. What problems do I have with the St. Louis Rams?
I have a couple. Should we save them, though? Should we save those until we talk about the Rams game?
I have a couple, too.
Okay, good. Well, this will be a good thing then to drop before we start previewing the Rams.
I mean, talking about next week at San Diego, I have one big problem that we may not record next week.
We're not going to record next week, so we'll mention San Diego.
Yeah, we'll say San Diego at the very end.
Well, we'll talk about it at the end, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for those of you listening, by the way, yeah, as Adam just mentioned, no show next week. We'll get that out of the way right now because I'm going on my honeymoon tomorrow, so I will be gone all of next week, so no show. And then it's the bye. But we usually do a bye week show.
We can treat next week as our OBOD bye week.
That'll be our bye week, and then we'll do a show during the bye week, kind of breaking down where this team is through the first six games. So yeah, so you'll hear this. Nothing next week, and then we'll be back after the Chargers game.
How do you feel about Clay Matthews mocking Kaepernick? That got some.
Oh, I loved it.
Comments on Facebook and Twitter.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
It was great.
He really, as someone pointed out to me on Twitter during the game after he did it, they go, you know, Matthews doesn't like any quarterback he plays against, but boy, he really hates Kaepernick, doesn't he? And I was like, yeah, the hatred flows through him, clearly, for Kaepernick.
After watching that game on Sunday, I keep thinking to myself, how in the hell did that team beat us three straight years? They beat us four games in a row, right?
Yeah. Well, they were. I mean, we talked about this last week. The talent drop off that they're experiencing now. They were so loaded, and I think Harbaugh was a big part of it.
I think he was the sole part of it. It was just night and day of how good Kaepernick used to be, and how much of a threat, and how much I was scared of playing Kaepernick. And now it's just like it's comical. He's not that good anymore, and I think that relates straight to Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh's he's a tool. He's a D-bag. He's obnoxious. He wears khaki pants. But all that aside, he's a damn good coach.
Look at what he's doing in Michigan already, right? Like, I think a lot of people thought Michigan was going to be better this year because of Harbaugh. But I don't think anybody thought they'd be ranked in the top 25 this soon, mm-mm, right? And they're playing Michigan State. I don't think it's this weekend, but it's the weekend after?
Weekend after, they get Northwestern this weekend. That's actually a pretty big matchup for the Big Ten.
Right, so they're like, and I at this point wouldn't even be surprised if they beat Michigan State, just because I think because of what Harbaugh's of his coaching prowess. He's really good, and he always knew exactly the right, he never put Kaepernick in situations where he was in over his head, you know. Mm-hmm.
Kaepernick's in over his head right now. He can't.
Oh, he's in way over his head. He's drowning. But, like, he always put Kaepernick in manageable situations.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest difference right now with Kaepernick is he's trying to carry this team, and he can't. He can't be the leader of this team.
No, I don't think he has that in him.
My favorite part of the Matthews thing was, besides the kissing and the bicep, his tongue is basically supposedly yelling, "You're no Russell Wilson."
Yeah, did you hear that? You ain't Russell Wilson, bro.
Yeah.
I was going to say something about Matthews, but I'm not going to. My other favorite part was Matthews telling reporters afterwards that that wasn't planned. Sure, Clay.
Yeah, okay.
Sure, I believe you. Yeah, Clay, no doubt. He's telling reporters, oh, yeah, that wasn't planned.
If you have to tell someone that wasn't planned, it was planned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Matthews got his, Perry got his, Elliott's a factor again. Carlos Hyde was pretty much contained and shut down.
To do what they did, I hope this makes sense, to do what they did Sunday, to me, it's like, you know what I mean, if you beat a bad team, to put up big numbers, sometimes it's like, so what? But if the numbers are just so outrageous, then I think it's still an impressive performance.
Yeah, I agree. It was impressive just because San Francisco couldn't do anything.
No.
And any NFL team you shut down like that is impressive. And the way the strides of this defense has taken, that going into the season, they weren't supposed to be an elite defense. And they still may not be an elite defense, but the fact that we're a month in, and I wasn't shocked by this defensive performance. I was impressed, but I wasn't like, oh my God, they just played one of the best defensive games I've seen play them in years. Like, based on the last few weeks, I kind of expected them to do this.
They're a top 10 defense right now.
And that's the biggest reason why they're 4-0. It's not that Cobb is having a great year. It's not that James Jones woke up the echoes. It's not that Aaron Rodgers is putting together an MVP season. It's the turnaround of this defense.
Right. Because, you know, for years, certainly since they won the Super Bowl, right? Like, if you go from 2011 to now, to say 2011 to say August, the formula for this team has always been just don't be terrible on defense. Just don't suck. And with Rodgers' brilliance and the offense's ability to put up points in bunches, that'll be enough for us to win. And, you know, most weeks it has been. Like, you know, they're four-time defending NFC North champions, right? For a reason. Mm-hmm. But that formula is not necessarily a world championship formula.
No.
And you've seen this in the playoffs in particular, that formula has really hurt them. And this year it feels different. It doesn't feel like the formula is just defense, just get one turnover and don't suck. This year it feels like they've got a defense they can really lean on.
And I think it took them a couple years to build up this defense, Selena, because the one thing that has caused problems with defense in the past is that they always had talent. They just didn't have the depth as they did on offense. And, you know, sometimes it's not as much as Ted Love's way to wave his magic wand. When you're building through the draft and, you know, street free agents, it may take a year to lean years on one side of the ball to really build up the depth. I mean, a lot of these guys were on the team a couple years ago that are now playing a big role that, you know, like Jayron Nelly and Mike Pinnell were street free agents last year. There's a lot of rookie and second year guys on this team that third year guys that, you know, if you're going to develop and build your team the way the Packers do, you're going to have some bumpy road sometimes waiting for these guys to catch up. But once they do catch up and you mix it with the veterans you already have in the team, like the Rajis, the Matthews, the Peppers, the Burnetts, the Shields, it can be scary good.
It really can. And you know, one thing I think hasn't really been touched on, but you and I talk about it a lot on this show, is who have been three of their most impressive performers on defense that might have caught you off guard a little bit. Like if I told you in August, these three guys are going to be three of the best guys on this defense right now. Raji,
yep.
Nick Perry,
yep.
And Mike Neal. And what? Oh, and well, Mike, let's throw Mike Daniels in the mix, even though you knew he was going to be good. Mike Daniels.
Yeah.
What?
But I'm not surprised by what Mike Daniels is doing.
Right, right. But let's just say those four guys, right, have been great. What do they all have in common?
What do they all have in common?
Could it be?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I know. They all want to get paid this offseason.
They are all in the last year of their contracts. The contract year. Never underestimate the contract year, folks.
Are you telling me that professional athletes are motivated by money? That no, you're not saying
no,
that, are you?
Right? And you can't. And that's. I mean, there's a great quote, Mike Hargrove. If you remember, not to get too baseball-y here, he had a money quote on this one. Someone asked him, "What is your dream? If you could assemble your dream roster, what would it look like?" And Hargrove's response, classic, quote: 25 guys in their contract years."
It's the truth.
It's true. Like you can't underestimate that. Like those four guys, like Neil, not quite as much, although he's, I think, has been pretty good. But especially Daniels, Perry, and Raji, they're all playing to get paid. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I'm not demonizing these guys at all. I get it. But I'm saying, like, that's been a huge part in this defense kicking ass too. You nailed it with like guys like Elliott and Pinnell coming into their own, and the fact they've got so many guys that have extra motivation, I think, helps too.
Yeah, and, you know, guys who have, not leaving Daniels out of this mix, but Raji, Neal, and Perry, two more things that they have in common is, one, is there's a good chance that all three of them, maybe not all three, but especially one or two of them, are not going to be playing for the Packers next year. So they have to impress other teams.
Yep.
Whereas Daniels, he's going to get re-signed.
He's going to get re-signed. I already think the Daniels thing is going to be like Cobb was last year.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to the last second.
But they're going to bring Daniels
back.
But
Daniels isn't going anywhere, no.
But, and the other thing is, all three of those guys, have injury histories.
Yep.
They always and besides Raji tearing his bicep, it's always been like nagging injuries. Always injuries that are not devastating, but you're going to miss a significant chunk of time because you just can't stay on the field. Funny that all three are healthy now, and maybe they are injured, but they're playing through it now too.
That is a good point. And with Nick Perry and Neil too, I mean, those two guys have always had potential, and they've always flashed it. Even at their lowest moments, particularly Perry, they always flashed potential. It's just always been injury stuff with those two. Neil, not as much now as early in his career, but even he's, you know, even recently he's been battling injury stuff. I mean, Perry, those guys, like you said, are they 100% healthy? Who knows? But they're playing through it because they have, again, that extra motivation. And you're seeing all of this talent coming together and being healthy, and you're seeing finally, now you can see Ted's vision for this defense.
In the NFL, you get your rookie contract. If you're good, you get a second contract. If you're extremely lucky, you get a third big contract.
Right.
And you need to be on the field. You need to produce to make other teams think that you are good, to know that you are good, like, you know, Perry and Neil and Raji are. Everyone kind of knows about Raji already, but especially Perry and Neil. They need to get that second contract because they're not going to get a third contract.
Because of the injury last year, and then he had a couple of pretty bad, no, not bad, but just subpar years before that. Like, we haven't really seen this Raji since the first half of 2011. So he's reminding everyone, you know, he wanted to remind everybody and put it on tape. Hey, I can still play. That guy that I was in 2011 when I made the Pro Bowl, I'm still that guy. Which is a big reason why he lost like 10 or 15 pounds, whatever it was in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, and that's fine with me. If these guys are motivated to get that money, hey, whatever works. I just want to see wins. So, and it's been, I mean, they've been great. Raji, you know, you can't overstate the importance of when you can get that kind of play from your nose tackle, it's like a ripple effect for the entire defense.
I don't want to stand up for Brad Jones or A.J. Hawk at all. But I think there's something to be said to what you – this sounds really bad saying. Something to be said there for what you just said. But there's something to be said that to have a really impactful nose tackle can affect your inside linebackers.
Right.
Are the combination of Nate Palmer and Clay Matthews any better than Hawk and Jones? Talent-wise, yes. But Nate Palmer is not anything special. But he has the luxury of having B.J. Raji open up that. And this linebacking core has not had that in the last couple of years.
Gives Nate Palmer back. Right. And then if Nate Palmer and Matthews, Matthews is already a stud. But if Nate Palmer and Matthews are benefiting from Raji, then they're playing better. And then if they're playing better, your outside linebackers are playing better. And if Raji's playing better, then Mike Daniels is going to play better. Like, it really is like the pebble in the water effect.
So besides the guys we just mentioned, anyone else on defense you think really stepped up their game on Sunday besides, you know, the trio of Raji, Neil, and Perry? Well, obviously we already talked about Matthews.
Was it the season or Sunday?
Sunday. Let's get back to Sunday.
Oh, I thought Daniels was really good. Shields, obviously, with a fantastic interception. He's really rebounded. He had about as bad of a game as you can have in one against Chicago and has turned in three really good performances since. So, and he kept that going Sunday. Crazy athletic interception in the second half there. So that was good. Not to be too obvious, but I just thought it was a really good total group effort.
It was. It's as cliche as that is. It really was.
Yeah, it's hard to find fault with too many people on that defense when you hold the opponent. When you, on a short week, go across the country, essentially, into hot weather and hold the opponent to 3 points, I mean, that's hard to argue with that, right?
No. Offense, let's switch to that side. We know about Aaron Rodgers. He's pretty good.
Yeah, hot start to the game. And then San Francisco, you know, they had problems with the offensive line, but he kind of seemed a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he just seemed sort of a tick off for most of the day. But it's hard to put too much of that on Rodgers. I mean, his offensive line didn't do him any favors.
Yeah, let's just get
to yeah, and I'm trying to dance around it because I'm like, well, I don't know if we're going to talk about it yet. I thought Rodgers was pretty good despite the fact that Don Barclay, we've been telling people to, like, you know, hey, don't believe everything you read on Barclay. He's actually been pretty good. he was not pretty good on Sunday.
No. He's actually pretty bad.
That was about as bad as a right tackle can play.
I knew who Aaron Lynch was. I didn't really want him to get to know him that well.
Yeah, he kind of ate Barclay's lunch and then had eyes on his dinner, too. That was not good.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, the offensive line as a whole, I didn't think was very good. Sitton took a couple of penalties and was struggling inside a little bit. The interior three, which are usually so good, again, particularly Sitton, I thought they struggled. I didn't think Bakhtiari. I just thought the line as a whole didn't have a very good day.
Well, I mean, that's good news heading into this week's matchup against St. Louis.
You know, and I guess I'm not totally surprised. I mean, Tom Sula is a defensive line coach. I mean, he was a defensive line guy. So it's not surprising that he'd have his guys fired up and ready to go. And they were at home, and they didn't want to get humiliated by Rodgers. So
the sitting stuff it's annoying, but it doesn't really worry me heading forward because he's Justin. He's had a bad game.
Back. Yeah, I have no doubt that the interior three will bounce back.
Can Barclay bounce back?
Well, is he even going to get a chance this week? Should we talk about the Bulaga thing? Is really interesting. He's been practicing the last 2 days. Now we're recording this on a Thursday night.
I always pegged like the bye week as after the bye, that's when Bulaga was going to come back.
Yeah, you and I have talked about that. I know on the show that we both thought, and I think I even said that there was no way he was going to play against St. Louis. So what do I know? But we both sort of pegged the bye because it was a 4 to 6 week injury. That was what all the reports said. This is it's barely been 3 weeks now. So, you know, we thought, well, not this week, and then maybe next week, but probably. Like, it just seemed like with the bye, with two games at home and then the bye and then Denver, and Denver being the game you really need him for, that would be when we would see him next.
Yeah, my biggest concern about Bulaga coming back is him re-injuring himself.
Yeah, because you don't want to come back too soon. But then this is a pretty conservative medical staff. So if they're giving him the green light, then maybe he is just further ahead.
They could use him.
Oh god. They need him this week. That's what people kept saying to me on Twitter when I said yesterday. I was like, I'm really surprised he's back. I didn't think we'd see him till Denver. And I got all these responses from people like, Rodgers probably called him and told him he needs him this week. Or someone says something about Rodgers sent Bulaga a DVD of the Rams defensive line. And I was like, yeah, you know, he might have.
Now, we kind of touched on this last week, but for injury reasons, but I'm just seeing it also for performance reasons. Say Bulaga comes back this week, who do you take out of the lineup? Bakhtiari or Barclay?
I think Barclay.
Okay.
Just because he was so bad last week, and you gotta kind of keep riding with Bakhtiari, even though it hasn't been the smoothest ride so far. Yeah, I would put Bulaga back in his right tackle spot.
It's not disconcerting, though.
It's what's that?
It is still about Bakhtiari, though.
You mean his level of play?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he hasn't been great either.
Do you think there's a chance that he turns it around?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, the penalties have always been a thing with him, right? And, like, his game isn't perfect. But he's been better than he's shown this year, right? Like, this hasn't been a great year for him so far, but I still think he's pretty talented. And I still think he can turn it around, so.
Yeah, it's just, I expected up and downs from Barclay. I don't think he's been, well, he's heading into the San Francisco game. The first 3 weeks, I don't think he was as bad as, like, say, Pro Football Focus made him out to be. However, you expected that from Barclay. I didn't really expect this from Bakhtiari. I can almost feel like he's taking a step back from last year.
Yeah. Well, no, he has.
No, I mean, he has taken a step back.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's his play has regressed. But I think the odds of him making that step up are better than Barclay. You know what I mean? Than Barclay
assuming Bulaga comes back this week or next week, he steps in, he's fine for Barkley. Can this offense, can this team go where it needs to go with Bakhtiari playing like this?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
I want to say yes, but I'm hesitant to say yes.
Yeah.
I think he's been that bad.
Yeah, I mean...
To the point where they're probably might... Because of Bulaga's health and Bakhtiari's performance, that they might need a draft to tackle pretty early next year.
Yeah, that looks like that might be one of the spots. Because they're going to have to make a decision pretty soon here on Bakhtiari. His contract's up, I believe, at the end of next year. So they're going to have to make a decision fairly soon if he's the guy.
But overall,
One other thing I wanted to ask you about this offense, because this has been a big topic this week here in Milwaukee and on Twitter, and the media is writing about it. Are you worried about the fact that the Packers don't have a legitimate deep threat at this point?
No.
See, I'm not really either, and it feels like I'm like, should I be worried? Because it feels like everybody else is, and I'm not. Like, I know everybody's like, well, they don't have that Jordy Nelson guy to take the top off of defense, and maybe it's Janice, but he's not ready yet. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think you need to have a real... I mean, they've had a deep threat the last 3 or 4 years, and how far have they gone in the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't think it's a necessity. There's if you make a list of concerns in this team, that's not on the list. Look at the Super Bowl last year. Seattle and New England don't have deep threats. Julian Edelman's not a deep threat. Gronkowski's not really a deep threat. No. You know?
No. And you can make up for it, too. That's the thing I keep thinking this week. Whenever it comes up, and it's come up a lot again on, like, Sports Talk Radio here in Milwaukee, I just think, like, you know, you don't need that. Like, not to sound like your high school football coach, but you win these games, especially in the playoffs, you win by running the ball, stopping the run, having at least respectable special teams, and a quarterback that can make big plays. I don't think you need a deep threat. If you're good everywhere else, then you're okay.
Their offense is pulling enough. They have a very good running game. Cobb and Jones and Montgomery starting to come on. They run enough routes that they don't really need a deep threat. And, you know, pretty sure Aaron Rodgers can find the open guy.
Yeah.
If he had a lesser quarterback and you want someone to go deep to find him the football, well then, yes, having a deep threat would be pretty key. But when you have Aaron Rodgers, he's going to find the guy who's open if he's shallow or deep.
One thing I think I have been surprised by, because I know we talked about this right after Jordy got hurt, is that we thought the shot play, the sort of, you know, the play action shot play to Jordy that was initially run with Greg Jennings, and then Jordy kind of took the mantle. You and I thought that Cobb would pick up that mantle this year. That hasn't happened yet. That surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, but maybe they don't want Cobb to do that. Maybe they're waiting for someone else on that receiving
right.
core to do
well,
it.
Well, and I think the most natural candidate would be Ty Montgomery. But then they tried that last week in the first one of the first plays of the game, and he couldn't hang on to the ball, so I don't know.
They're integrating Montgomery more and more each week.
Yeah, how about Montgomery lining up in the backfield?
I like it.
I like it, too. I really like the job Tom Clements has done.
Hey, another reason why you don't need a deep threat. You have all these other weapons.
Right. It feels like the diversity that they're bringing to the offense, it just feels like it's greater with Clements. It's only 4 games into this thing, but it feels like, I don't know, it just feels like he's more of an inventive mind than even Mike. And I like it. Mm-hmm. And I think you do have to, and again, that's another reason why I don't think the deep threat is such a big deal. Because if you've got a creative offensive coordinator, you can come up with other things.
Well, one thing that Clements has proven, besides, you know, obviously being a little thinner than Mike, is he's not as stubborn as Mike either.
No, he's not. And I like that.
if something's not working, he's not going to shove it down our throats.
Yeah, it's just...
And which is, let's go back to not having a deep threat. It's, okay, we don't have one. Okay, we're going to adjust. And Mike, not that Mike would coach differently without having a deep threat. It's Mike had problems adjusting his playing calling, which Clements is doing. But my overall answer to this deep threat question is, all right, it'd be nice to have a deep threat, but where are you going to find one? You can give Jeff Janis more playing time when he doesn't deserve it, you know?
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned that Aberderis got the call up.
I know, everyone was pretty excited about that.
It was like the Wisconsin fans' wet dream. Yeah, he got the call up on Saturday. And I think that was a direct – I mean, I think that was a direct reflection – on the fact that Janice probably isn't where they quite want him to be as well.
Oh, yeah, easily. And Adams is probably still a couple weeks away.
I don't think we're going to see Devontae Adams again. They've been very shadowy about this injury, but I don't think we're going to see Adams till after the bye.
Yeah, and if it's any longer than that, and they wasted their short-term IR spot in Andrew Corliss.
You're going to be pissed? Is that what you're saying?
I'll be a little upset.
But, yeah, because I'm just thinking, because you mentioned, like, well, who's it going to be, Jeff Janis? And it's like, well, they only called up, and that was my first thought when I saw that they called Aberderis up. I was like, they're not happy with Janis's development as a wide receiver.
Nope. And I think if Jeff Janis wasn't one of the gunners on special teams, and he's done a great job.
He's been great. Yeah, he's been great on special teams.
Which he's a seventh-round pick. That's what you want your late-round picks to be, special team players. If he wasn't such an impact special teams player, he would have been cut by now.
Yeah, I think so, too. So they, you know, like you said, that it's – I don't know if a deep threat's going to emerge. There's a couple of candidates, maybe Montgomery, most of all, but they don't have it, and I don't think they're going to have it. It's like the Billy Bob Thornton quote in Friday Night Lights, you're small, and you're going to be small. That's kind of the way I feel about the deep threat thing. It's like they don't have one, and they're not going to get one. This is the offense. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is a great offense. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but don't you just really kind of love everything about this team right now?
I do.
I'm trying not to look too far ahead. It's a long season, but
all right, let's not look too far ahead. Let's just look a few days.
There you
ahead
go. There you go. Don't let me get too. Don't let my mind wander.
Well, I'm expecting another stellar defensive performance on this team. Nick Foles, Kenny Britt, T-Bone Austin, do anything for you?
Austin's actually finally starting to show why
he had one good game.
Did they trade up to get him? I feel like they did. They took him high. He was like eighth overall.
He had one
good
game.
Yeah, they used him, and they're starting to use him very Percy Harvin-esque. It's a lot of jet sweeps and slot stuff and bubble screens, you know what I mean? Like,
whatever. He doesn't.
I mean, he's a guy. I think he's their best weapon in terms of the passing game. Kenny Britt's not bad. He's been around forever. He's not terrible, and the tight ends are okay. But Austin, I think, is the guy you have to worry most about.
I've read a lot of people being worried about Todd Gurley, and I think Todd Gurley is a special.
Yeah, Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley is obviously. I think he's already the centerpiece of that offense. Which sounds crazy because he's played like two games, but I really think he is. Knowing how Jeff Fisher is, you know, how Fisher likes to run the ball and play defense. So it feels like Gurley's already a focal point.
And he didn't do much his first 2 weeks ago in his first start, but, you know, he was very dominant against a damn good Arizona Cardinal defense. And he's obviously going to be the focal point. That's who Green Bay needs to stop on defense. But let's just run down the list here. Forte did some damage, but Marshawn Lynch... nothing. Jamal Charles, nothing. Carlos Hyde, nothing.
I have the stats on this. Are you ready for this?
I would love some stats to back up my...
The last 3 weeks, after getting torched by Forte in week one, Marshawn Lynch, Jamal Charles, and Carlos Hyde have run the ball a combined 34 times for 110 yards. In 3 weeks, the Packers have held that trio of running backs to 110 yards total.
That's less than what Gurley got last
3.24 yards per carry. That is incredible. This run defense is done. They're only ranked 21st. So if you look at the numbers, again, another instance where numbers are misleading. They're only 21st in overall run defense. But that's because of Forte.
But if you take out week one, I bet they're top five.
Oh, yeah, easily. A lot of that was Forte. And a lot of that was Forte in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, I think Forte had like 85 or 90 yards in that first half in week one, and they made some adjustments, and ever since halftime in week one, they've been pretty damn good against the run. So I'll take my chances with this run defense at Lambeau against Todd Gurley, sure. And Foles is an okay quarterback. He's nothing special. He's probably, would you say he's kind of your baseline NFL starter?
I always would put him a little bit below the baseline.
A little below, yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to win anything with Nick Foles as your quarterback.
It's true.
What is the Rams' ceiling? 9 wins?
I would say 10. Yeah, 9 or 10.
I mean, that's as far they're going to get with Nick Foles.
The Jeff Fisher team, that is for damn sure. You can tell. It's like, this is the same type of team he had in Tennessee, except the quarterback's not as good. And obviously,
defensively though, let's talk about that.
The story for this week, right? That's the central angle of this game, is how will the Packers fare against this monstrous St. Louis defensive line? Not even probably. They are the best defensive line in football.
Aaron Donald may be the best defensive lineman, not named J.J. Watt.
And he might even be better. Watt hasn't been great this year.
No, he hasn't. Well, the reason why is they're not lining up at tight end anymore.
Oh, Watt? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they can't showcase his freakish athletic skills to give him the MVP.
Yeah. No shit.
That's me trying to take cracks at J.J. Watt.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well,
maybe he just worked out too much in his bare bones rustic
cabin that is actually a house that has like 7 different kitchens in it out in Pewaukee. Did you see the Deadspin thing on that?
Oh yeah, it's a farce.
He said it's a real bare bones minimalistic log cabin. They show the photos.
No, it's a $1 million cabin on a lake somewhere in northern Wisconsin.
He's got his own he's got his own landscaper.
Yes. Poor JJ Watt.
The garage there's a kitchen in the garage. Yeah, we're not JJ Watt fans.
He's such a effing farce.
He's a phony. You know who he is? Someone on Twitter over the summer called J.J. Watt the Anne Hathaway of the NFL. Just in the sense that, like, Anne Hathaway is always like, I don't like all this attention, but, like, really, like, loves it. That's, like, J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's...
That's totally who he is, too.
He loves playing the role of, don't look at me, I'm not trying to make any news headlines. I'm just being a normal guy, but don't look at me.
I'm just a hard hat, lunch pail, blue collar guy from Pewaukee. He's full of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of guys wear a hard hat to work and have $99 million contracts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not Wad fans. Not at all.
You're a professional athlete. You should be working out a lot.
Right. All he does is work out in the offseason, though. Like, oh, he bought a house right near the Houston facility. I'm like, what the hell else is he going to do?
Yeah.
This isn't the 50s where they worked as longshoremen.
Just because he's not getting arrested, we're not supposed to praise the guy.
We're also Gophers, too, which is a big part of it. Let's just get that out there.
Yeah, because if J.J. wasn't a Packer, he'd be...
I'd probably love him.
I'd probably have a watch jersey.
But we're Gopher grads, so we don't like him. Where are we now? Oh, yeah, we're talking...
Back to Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald's been great. You know, this defensive line is... They don't get, you know, because normally it's like, you know, we have Aaron Rodgers. So not many opposing defenses or even just position groups on opposing defenses scare me. This defensive line scares me, and I'm not afraid to admit that. Mm-hmm. Quinn is great. And Brockers is pretty damn good. And Chris Long, you know, is quite good as well. Maybe not quite on the level of the other three, but he's pretty good too.
That's what makes me worried about our tackle situation.
Yeah, and then we're going back to the tackles now. Yeah, I think Rodgers will be able to do some stuff with the snap count, you know, because he's such a wizard with the snap count and manipulating it and the cadence and stuff, especially at home. You hope that combined with those guys playing a little bit better or maybe Bulaga returns, you hope that's enough to just sort of keep these monsters at bay. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it will be for 4 quarters, but hopefully.
Yeah, it's I see doomsday scenarios all over this, but then again, they're playing at home.
Right.
If this game was in St. Louis, I'd be very, very concerned.
Right. Well, and if you remember when we talked about this game in the preseason, when we did our predictions, I said even back then I was nervous about this game. But like you said, not as nervous that it's at Lambeau. That will help. And mm-hmm. you know, the St. Louis defense, their line is great, no question. But if you look at the back two levels, if they can give Rodgers even a little bit of time, I do think it's there for him to have a pretty big day.
Yeah, and this is going to be one of those games where it's going to be a lot of quick hits. It's going to be what this offense is tailored for. They're not going to be throwing the ball deep because Rodgers is not going to have that time. It's going to be one of those games where Cobb is going to have about 10 catches for 108 yards and a couple touchdowns. Richard Rodgers is going to be a factor.
Ty Montgomery could be.
Montgomery's going to be a
Montgomery
factor.
Montgomery could be a big factor.
There are going to be a lot of dump-off passes to Lacy.
I think I'm glad you brought him up because I think he has to be a big, big factor on Sunday. You know, he's had the ankle injury and that kind of combined with, like, you know, they were always fairly comfortably ahead last week, even if we were all shitting ourselves at halftime, or a lot of people were. They were never really in doubt. They were never really in danger. So they didn't have to lean on Lacy too much, you know? which is good with the ankle, but I do think this is a week where you're going to have to lean on him pretty heavily.
I think so, too, because I think Lacey's one of those guys who can go pound for pound with the bastards on the St. Louis defense.
Did you say bastards?
Yeah. They're just big, tough bastards.
You need a son of a bitch for this kind of for this type of fight, and that's Eddie Lacy. Yeah. I agree. I totally agree with you. Because, like I said, you look at the linebacker core. Laurinaitis is very good, but now Ogletree is out for the year. I think with the ankle, right? Alec Ogletree. He is. Hang on, I got this all punched up here. Hold on. Hey, come on, there we go.
I know. Yeah. Well, Ogletree's out.
He's got an ankle. He's probably out for the year. So that.
Yeah,
that really hurts that linebacking core. That's not as good of a group now. And then their secondary, outside of Jenkins, who's a pretty talented guy, it's not a very good secondary. So the back two levels, there's a lot of holes. And it is just, if you can just give Rodgers enough time, like you said, to work the short passing game, make Lacy a factor, some screens would be, I would really like that. Some screens in this type of game, if you can run those things effectively, and again, just give him a little bit of time, I actually think he can have a good day.
I think so, too. I really do. I think it's going to be – that's going to be critical Sam for that play action, too.
Yeah, I agree. They've kind of – they're really – I think this is going to be a week where the run game, at least initially, will be the focus. And then, like you said, short passing game, you can get the play action going.
Because if you can get Lacy past that first level, just halfway past that first level – he can run out this game because then it's fewer shots, fewer chances you have having those pass rushers, run around our great tackle situation we have.
And their ears back and go, right, it's harder to do that.
I mean, we've kind of already addressed this in a way, but the way St. Louis beats Green Bay, they stop Lacy and they pin their ears back and just get after Rodgers.
Yeah, right. The front four dominates. The Packers.
They shorten up this game. They run Gurley up and down the field. Not going to be pretty. They're going to try to win this game, 14-10, 17-13. But it's the most the most important player on this team, like just two of them. It's the tackles. It's Bakhtiari and Barclay. Those are the weaknesses that St. Louis is going to attack on this team in order to win this game.
I think the most important player is Eddie Lacy, but I can see what you're saying on the tackles, definitely.
Yeah.
I think, you're right. Like you said, that's how St. Louis wins. You just, their front four kicks the hell out of the Packers offensive line. They can't sustain any drives. They run the hell out of Gurley and, Austin and the rest of the, Foles can make plays in the, sort of in the short stuff. Austin's a factor, and they win something like what? Like you said, 17-10, 17-14 or 16-13 or something like that.
But that won't happen, right?
I don't know. Before we get to our picture, we never really talked about what you said we were going to. What is your gripe with the Rams?
My gripe with the Rams?
Because I have one too, but I don't know if it's the same as yours. Because I think we should make this revenge tour thing a weekly thing.
Oh, yeah. Because
we've done it every week so far, and it's been fun, and they're 4-0, so let's just keep it going.
I was thinking about what's my gripe with the Rams. And I remember a couple weeks ago at the Summers household, we were talking about Kurt Warner for some reason. I don't remember why we were talking about Kurt Warner. And my wife said, I just can't stand Kurt Warner. I'm like, what kind of grief do you have with Kurt Warner? I'm like, he seems like a good guy. Like, I've never had a problem with Kurt Warner. She's like, well, he knocked the Packers out of the playoffs. The first thing that came to my mind was, Favre's 6 interception game in the playoffs in St. Louis. I'm like, oh, that wasn't really Favre. That wasn't really Warner knocking the Packers off. That was Favre knocking the Packers off. But then she brought the fact that, when he was with the Cardinals, it was that wild card round.
God. 2009?
2009, J. Mike's breakout game.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, whatever. But that was when he was with the Cardinals. My gripe with St. Louis, I guess I don't really have anything against the Rams too much. But I do have some grievances with the city of St. Louis.
Okay.
Getting the bleep button ready.
All right.
The f***ing St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming many Cardinals.
Oh, no, I did it. Shit.
Worth it.
I didn't mean to. You were like, it's
worth it.
Oh, the Cardinals. Just hearing it makes me go,
did it again.
Did it again. Three bleeps. Three bleeps.
So I'm feeling most Cardinals fans are Rams fans and vice versa. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think there's a whole lot of Rams fans out there. But I just have problems with City of St. Louis. So that's my revenge tour stop. Not so much with the Rams itself, but goddamn City of St. Louis and their shitty baseball team.
My gripe with the Rams is, okay, so my dad is older now, so we don't go to games together anymore. But we used to go to a game every year starting when I was in sixth grade, right? So like six. Let me just do this really quick. Sorry. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So like 14 years in a row, I went to games with my dad, right? We'd go to one game a year, minus 1 year when my sister was giving birth to one of my nephews. So 13 games in a row I went to with my dad, and the Packers won every year until we went in 2006, McCarthy's first year, and they were playing the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And Packers looked like they were going for – the Rams were up. I think they were up by like a field goal. And the Packers were driving in the waning moments. And it looked like they were going to get at least a field goal, if not a touchdown, to win the game outright because they were really driving the ball. And then someone, I think it was Tauscher, got beat on a stunt, and Favre got sacked, ball came out, St. Louis recovered, and then that was it. You know, they just kneeled the ball down to win, run the clock out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was the first Packers loss I ever saw in person. Was
bastards.
Was the sons of bitches. That was in 2006. October of 2006. So that's mine.
So we have
that's
some
pretty good, right? Like that's a pretty good gripe. I mean, it's going to be harder some weeks than others, but that's not bad. I mean, the first Packer loss I saw in person was to these guys, so I'm still pissed off about that, and I want them to win.
Since we're going to be off next week, our revenge tour hits the city of San Diego,
Yes. Actually
Lambeau, but the Chargers, kind of a tougher opponent, maybe to have gripes about.
Not if you think about it, though.
Yeah, not if you think about it. And we might use this. Emma might use this revenge tour two times this season.
Okay. Oh no. So we are thinking the same thing then.
Super Bowl
32 was held at Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego.
I couldn't really think of another Charger revenge tour.
I don't think they've ever beaten us since we've been watching, anyways.
No, we've always taken care of business in San Diego. The last time the Chargers played here was in 2007, Barb's last year in Green Bay. And I remember that was kind of a big win. That kind of kicked off that season when the Chargers were still rolling with LaDainian Tomlinson and the gang.
We watched that at the favorites. And Dave and Strong and our friend Dave McCoy. We watched that at Gabe's, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was the last game we watched at Gabe's before in St. Paul, the well-known Packer bar, before we decided that it was just too busy there and we weren't going to go there anymore.
But you had to get there at like 10 o'clock to get a seat.
Remember, I'll never forget this. We went to Gabe's. I'm sorry, I'm delaying the predictions. But we went to Gabe's the week before when they played the Giants.
Yeah.
And it was a noon game, and you and I and Bomberg and I think Dale, we went because we had to get a spot because we'd gone there the week before. We went way too late and we got screwed out of a spot. So we're like, well, it's not happening the next week. And we went. It was like 10:15 in the morning we got there. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And like at one point I looked over and Dale was sleeping at the table.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were falling asleep.
We were at various points before kickoff, we were all almost dozing off because we had to get there. So we had to get there like 2 hours before kickoff. And we're like, I can't believe we're up at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, this blows. Hence why I never go there.
And then we went to Gabe's the next week for the San Diego game. Then we were like, that's it. We're not coming here anymore.
Yeah. Then we discovered Majors had that Packers room. That was just
perfect. With the projection screen? Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. You know, I had to show up there maybe about 20 minutes before kickoff.
So Super Bowl 32, was in San Diego. So we're going to sort of hold the Chargers at fault for that.
Yep.
And then we're going to use it again when we preview the Broncos game. And we'll go more. We'll probably go more in depth on the heartbreak.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this schedule right now. I do have a lot of grievances coming up.
I do too.
Lots of grievances.
It's a good Festivus schedule.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
Revenge Tour 2015 continues. So what's your pick this week?
We should call this the Festivus segment.
The Festivus segment.
My prediction for this week. Well, you know, we talked about it already. I think we all know what St. Louis is going to try to do. We'll start with their offense. Gurley, I think the Packers, I really like where this run defense is at. Even if Morgan Burnett doesn't play again, I think they're going to keep Gurley in check, and they're going to make things really hard on Nick Foles because that's not a great offensive line. So it'll be hard for the Rams to sustain drives. And then defensively, I think the Packers line will do enough. I don't know if it'll always be pretty. The Rams will get theirs at times because that D-line is just too good not to. But they'll battle, and they'll fight them to at least a draw, if not more, which will give Rodgers time to make plays against those back two levels, which, again, aren't very good. Look for Eddie Lacy to have a big day, and I think when you add it all up, I have the Packers winning this game by a final of 22-13.
I have them winning 23-13 for pretty much all the same reasons. I think it's going to be a slow-paced game.
Yep.
Probably for the most of the game. I mean, Rodgers is going to make more plays than Foles. It's just going to happen. This offensive line is going to have to work out. I would not surprise you if they had 5 or 6 sacks and we're here 2 weeks from now and trying to calm everyone down that this offensive line is going to keep this team away from the Super Bowl. I could see Twitter being a fire after this game, even if they win. But I think it comes down to is the running backs. Can they stop Gurley, but also can the Rams stop Eddie Lacy? And while Gurley has all the potential in the world, and he may be a top 5 running back talent-wise right now, but Eddie Lacy's still better right now. Eddie Lacy's a better running back than Todd Gurley. Ask me this 6 weeks from now, Todd Gurley may be the next Adrian Peterson. But right now, Eddie Lacy is the better running back. And the Packers know how to use him a lot better than the Rams know how to use Todd Gurley. So I have them winning 23-13.
So 20-13 and 23-13.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, I think St. Louis's defense, that line in particular, will get theirs. Which is why you're not going to see, when I say the Packers line will do their job and give Rodgers time, I don't mean they'll give him time to throw for 5 touchdowns. But I mean, they'll give him time to stay alive, basically, and not get his head knocked off. And work the weapons in the short game like they've been doing all year. You know what I mean? To win a game like this, you have to have a good short game. That plays right into the Packers' wheelhouse because the short game has been what they've relied on all season anyway. So I think they're built for this. And the fact that the game is at home, too. It's just hard to see anybody going into Lambeau and winning.
The Packers are eventually going to lose a game at home. It's going to happen at some point.
But, I just mean with the way they're playing right now, it's hard.
It's not going to be this to the St. Louis Rams. Come on.
I don't think so either. I think even though the Rams do kind of have a rep as being giant killers, I think the Packers are a little too big for them at this point.
Well, that's it for 2 weeks then, Chris.
You made it. Give yourselves a hand if you made it to the end.
Mm-hmm. We had some technical difficulties. It might be kind of choppy,
but
I swear.
Is a little bit hot here. I don't really know what's going on with that. I apologize to you, the listeners, if I don't always sound clean. That's it. I don't really know what else to say. I'm going on my honeymoon, so that'll be fun. Yeah. I'm going to be in Tennessee. I'm going to watch a game at a Packer bar in Nashville. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. I want to go to Nashville.
We'll see you guys back here in 2 weeks. Maybe I'll meet some country western stars down at the end.
If you don't come back with an accent, I'm going to be disappointed.
I am planning on buying a cowboy hat. I should just point that out right now.
Oh, boy.
I don't know where from, but if I buy one, I'll post a pic on Twitter. And if I meet, like, Carrie Underwood or something, I'll post that on Twitter, too.
All right, let's just leave it at that. Chris in a cowboy hat. See you in 2 weeks, guys.
Pat, go.
Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.